space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this
land.
And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Get off the set.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! October 26th. And what is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course! Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars! This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what she wrote here, Doc. I mean... That says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Why? everybody. It's Ocean's Is here. Hope you all doing well out there. I posted several links in the chat room regarding a probe going to Pluto and stuff. Pretty impressive technology. You know, you talk about, they say it's Pluto's 3 billion miles away from the Earth. Took 9 years to get there, and basically sent back a bunch of pictures and all that kind of stuff. Well, I also posted some documentaries in there. One that was done by, it was broadcast on BBC. Let me see what date that was. Somewhere around about premiered in 2004, made by the BBC. Anyway, yeah, it's a very interesting documentary that you have to just check out for yourself. Or it basically shows the travels of some astronauts that go all over the solar system and visit all the planets, and including Pluto. And they actually even go first to Venus, and one man walks on Venus, which to me would probably be the stupidest thing if all the science is right of how Venus's atmosphere is, pressurized wise, and all the different toxic elements there in the atmosphere. But they did it, you know. It was pretty good Hollywood show, you know, dramatic, on the edge of your seat kind of stuff. One thing I can say for sure is you know, NASA sure can tell a good story when they're going to tell it. But just, you know, have to be your own skeptic and discern your own ideas from it. Just watch the documentary, and then actually look at some of the updated footage of different things, you know, photos, latest photos. I also posted a link in there for the latest photos to Pluto. And if you scroll up in the chat room also, you'll notice that there's a live link to NASA's physicsastronomy.com and a Ustream channel where you can actually go listen to NASA and all their stuff, you know. 3 billion miles, folks. 3 billion miles. They sent a probe 3 billion miles to take photos of a small, they call a dwarf planet, out there at the edge of our solar system. Pretty impressive technology. If you watch that documentary that I posted a link over there at www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. That's a lot to say. I need to figure out a shorter place to for the deal. Anyway, you know, this is all about mad science here, you know. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, we got all this technology to literally send a probe 3 billion miles through space. Take pictures, send data back, and they say it's going to be like 16 months before all the data gets back, that the all the pictures from all the different things that the probe took pictures of. And then it'll take many more years for NASA to go through all the information, you know, and do what it is that they do, you know, and send you out all your nifty CGI photos and show you what's what, you know. It's pretty cool. Kind of same thing they did to Mars. And ironically enough, the closest body in our solar system being the moon, we got very little to see about the moon. You know, they've got a few photos here and there that are controversial, and some say that we never even went to the moon. It's hard to say in this world. Who could say what's reality and what isn't reality? But if we got the technology to go 3 billion miles across the solar system, then we should right now, by this time here, we're year 2015, and they supposedly went to the moon in I believe 1969. We should be crawling all over the moon right now. There should be like moon bases, rovers going all over, remote control cameras where you can just kind of look around, you know. I mean, wouldn't you think that that would be something that, you know, NASA, it costs a lot of money to do what they do. And you, the taxpayer out there in the United States, actually pay for that. Not to mention the fact that there's probably other countries, their taxes help to fund that as well, because it's all different nations involved in all the different space things going on these days, like the International Space Station and such. But wouldn't you think that somebody by now could have put some rovers up there on Mars and maybe charge somebody a fee to kind of, you know, drive this thing around and explore and take samples and do all that kind of stuff? If you're going to spend that kind of money to go 3 billion miles across space to a foreign body at the edge of the solar system, and you have the capability to send back pictures and such, then you would think we would have some really good photos of the moon, and not to mention the fact that from the moon we'd have some really beautiful photos of the Earth itself. You know, I'm not saying anything. I'm just posing the questions, and that's what I do on Mad Science. I pose the questions, you know, common sense. Why not? Why waste all the money to go clear to the edge of space whenever you haven't even got your backyard pretty much taken care of? And you have all this technology such as thermal generators that you're capable of producing after 9 years. They said initially it was over 200 watts of power, but because of the half-life and the time that it took them to get it up there, that they'll probably be around about 200 watts of power by the time it actually reached Pluto and such. You know, even at that, you're 3 billion miles away from Earth, far enough away from the sun that solar panels aren't efficient enough to do anything. They said something about you could light up maybe a 2-watt light bulb with the light from there. However, ironically enough, even though the solar panels aren't as well as you know they could be, then you sure do see a lot of light in the photos that shows the surface of Pluto. So I posed the question to the NASA groupies once again. I just said, hey, look, does that probe have spotlights on it or a pretty large camera flash or something like that? Because, you know, that's pretty well lit up for something that's so far away from the sun. And I'm just asking, okay? I'm not trying to insinuate nothing, just asking. Man, you want to talk about people getting riled up? Don't ever ask NASA a question. Don't ever ask the tough questions. Somebody once said NASA was never a straight answer, which, you know, ironically enough, you know, you get photos, you got rovers out there on Mars, and there should be some really awesome photos up there, you know. I mean, we should get all kinds of photos. But back in, I think I said 2004, let me look once again, make sure I'm not misquoting it, the Wikipedia article, which I also posted a link inside there, talks about the Space Odyssey TV series produced by BBC. In 2004, they did this video, and basically Mars looked like the Mars photos, and Pluto looks just like the Pluto photos, and if you see them standing on the surface and all the videos that they got going on there, everything pretty much looks like everything you've pretty much seen that NASA's released thus far, you know. So, you know, and you got the whole anti-gravity, they're floating around and stuff, you know, and then they're all the way through the whole deal talking about the radiation dangers of space and such, you know. So sometimes you have to read through the lines, read between the lines to see what it is that is reality as far as space travel is thus far. Not saying we ain't at Pluto, not saying we didn't go to Mars or all this different stuff, but to watch this documentary, you'd have to ask the questions. Any intelligent individual would have to ask the questions. You know, such as the first example that why would you go to Venus if your science said that Venus has such hostile conditions and you could only really stand there in a specialized suit for 2 hours in maximum? before that suit would basically implode like some of the cameras did during the deal because of the sulfuric acid and all that kind of stuff eating at the deal and the pressure and all that. Who in their right mind would want to go stand on a planet knowing that, you know? And okay, you got this suit that they say was tested in a blast furnace, according in this documentary. Now, keep in mind, I'm mixing what they said they've done in documentaries to what their reality of what they've done in the real world that they've released as far as information. And so, you know, it's kind of a, when you talk about NASA, you're talking about a kind of a mix between science fiction and science fact. What is reality and what ain't reality, and where the two lines could actually blur, you know. So the NASA groupies, which I'm sure are a lot of Trekkies and Star Wars fans and, you know, space people. I love the space movies. I like Star Trek and I like that old series Firefly and anything that has to do with traveling through space, you know, Stargate and all that kind of stuff. I love sci-fi, you know, but there's tough questions posed in sci-fi that, you know, you got to ask. The technology that we got, do we really have technology that is capable of doing what they did in these videos? And are there things that they know that they don't show us that, you know, it's... You're all right up until you ask a NASA groupie. You know, once you ask a NASA groupie, boy, you better hang on to your hat because they get riled. You know, well, how dare you ask a question like that 3 billion miles away? I just asked the one about the light. Started a controversy. Now it's all about, you know, well, the, you know, we could see it through a telescope, so it must be getting some light and all that kind of stuff, you know. And they got to talk about all the moons out there that Pluto has and this and that. And then when you go and actually listen to NASA themselves talking about it and other individuals, they never got anything more than a blurry dot out there, you know, when it was supposedly discovered. Anyway, they made it. They went on down there and they got the deal. And throughout the whole episode of this documentary, they landed on a lot of different places. They landed on Venus and Mars and a couple different things. They even landed on a comet at one point. Excuse me. Anyway, it's pretty fascinating. Just watch the documentary and actually go and look at some of the newer, updated 2015 NASA release photo videos and such, and listen to them talk and all that kind of stuff. And maybe you'll come to the same conclusion I have. You know, it takes a lot of money to do all that. There's a lot of research involved, and you're actually sending 3 billion miles across the dark space with who knows what, asteroids and meteors and radiation and all that kind of stuff. And you know, everything has to be right. If one thing fails, you're just in the guidance alone. And then when you actually look at that probe, I mean, one has to ask the question as well, how they maneuver this probe around, how they keep so much they have to have some sort of fuel source or something that is going to, you know, turn this around with jets or something like that. And they say it's about the size of a piano, you know, 9 years out there, and you got fuel in there, and you're going to have to conserve as much as all possible, because you can't put too much fuel in something the size of a piano. It's going to be out there in deep, dark space and be able to maneuver around and do flybys and such, you know. And so once you are in the gravitational pull of something, you also have to be able to exit that gravitational pull. And so you have to be able to figure out a way to jet your way off of there. So you're at one moon, you're going around it, you're taking your pictures, sending them back to Earth 3 billion miles, you know. And then you want to go to the next rock, so you got to jet away from that and be able to escape the gravitational pull of one body to actually capture the gravitational pull of the other body. You know, there's a lot involved there. There's a whole lot involved. and it's all fitting basically a probe the size of a piano. You know, it has all these instruments on there that are run by a plutonium thermal generator, which is, in my mind, impressive technology. If it's really there, it's, you know, it's really impressive. So why wouldn't we use that kind of technology here on Earth that is capable of producing 200 watts and sending a signal back to 3 billion miles through space to Earth for us to be able to get a hold of and such? So I posed the question, and, you know, hey, whatever. Holy Walker says, I'll insinuate it. I'll even say it outright. NASA is one of the greatest frauds, home of scam artists. Oh, man, that's cool. Anyway, you know, we got all these supposed problems here on the planet, and doomsday is like every other day, and sometimes it's put off to the side, and we got to, you know, wait another year or another week or month or two for doomsday to show up, and all this exciting stuff, wars and rumors of war, plagues, famines, pestilence, and all that. And we got technology to literally go clear across space and do what it is they said we're doing. Yet, we don't have the common sense or the knowledge in order to be able to solve the so-called energy crisis here on Earth. So there's still wars over oil and resources and such, which in my mind, that qualifies it for a spot on the Mad Science Channel. If we have science and technology to travel 3 billion miles and send information clear back here, then we should have the science and technology to make sure that there ain't nobody on one side of the planet who can't get clean, fresh water. Or some air conditioning when they need it, or some heat, you know, fresh food. You know, they talk about all this peace and everything, and had the whole Pope horse and pony show come through, and everybody's all yay, you know, holiness, you know, whatever, you know. But the science that supposedly involved in all this kind of stuff, I mean, you can move all these resources around for certain things, but you can't move them around for other things. We got the science and technology to ensure that everybody could live comfortably and safely and be well fed and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to spend who knows how many millions, if not billions or trillions of dollars, to send a piano to Pluto. Take pictures, send them back, and so on and so forth. You know, that's I must be insane. I pose this question, you know, why look, you just need to know your place and shut your face and don't say anything, don't ask questions, just believe what you're told. Well, I refuse to believe what I'm told, especially when it comes from anything to do with any government or agency or any organization out there that's got an agenda trying to tell me what's what. The so-called global warming / climate change / climate disruption / whatever it's going to be next week because of, you know, every time it's cold out, you know, it's whatever. If you shove them 20 inches of snow off your driveway and they're telling you it's global warming, then, you know, and you ask the question, well, if it's global warming, why am I freezing my butt off? But regardless of all that, they're going to charge you a carbon tax. They're going to charge companies carbon taxes, which is going to raise prices of everything, to food, you know, because you got to have fuel to get tractor trailers and trains from point A to point B. You have to be able to get these things done in order to make deliveries and such. So anything that has to do transportation related, according to the carbon tax, is going to cost you a lot of money. And your utility bills, you're going to go, you know, BO himself said, your electric bill is necessarily going to skyrocket. Under my plan, the coal industries will bankrupt. Wow. okay, you just pretty much said you're going to screw us and destroy the country, so I guess that's justification for you being reelected twice. Elected once and reelected the second time. So I don't even buy into the whole, you know, you had a choice on the doggone election, because it just seems to me that there can't be that many ignorant people on the planet. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there are. Because people will argue that you went all the way to Pluto and you asked them a question, what light source was they using to get these photos, you know? Did they have spotlights on this thing? And did they have, you know, a big camera flash or something? Because then you got to factor in lumens, you know? How many lumens would it take to light up a 100-mile area on a planet's surface that is so far away from the sun that solar cells would be, you know, super inefficient? And you look back at the sun and it's like a little dot, you know. You'd think it'd be a whole lot dimmer that. You wouldn't be able to get quite the good picture that you'd want. I don't know, I'm just asking, because that must have been a really good camera and transmitter that sent that all the way back. But either way, you know, doing the math and listening to words out of NASA's own mouth and stuff and asking the tough questions, that makes you a heretic in the science community. Well, everybody knows I'm a heretic in the scientist community because I'll ask the questions. Do I know if the Earth is flat? No, I don't know if the Earth is flat. Do I know if the Earth is round? No, I don't know the Earth is round. I ain't been off the Earth to see far enough back to see it. And so far to this date, I ain't really seen any convincing pictures of the Earth itself. I mean, from the moon, you'd think they would have got some really good pictures. And from the satellites, all the satellites in the space, you'd get some really good pictures. And, you know, with the space station and all the thousands of satellites up in space, you would have thought they would have got some really good pictures of those as well. Am I saying they're not there? No, I'm just asking a question. Yeah, up there, you see the satellite go by. That's pretty cool, you know. And that's man-made technology in space. Let's take a picture of that and share it with the people of Earth, because they paid us lots and lots of money and basically paid us for this vacation in space. So let's send them something cool, you know. Let's send them a picture of this telecommunication satellite. And look, there's one that's outdated and it's getting ready to burn back up. Let's get a picture of that while that's going on. Some really cool video, you know. You would think that anything that had to do with space would be so exciting that they would want to video and take tons and tons and tons of pictures. But yet all we get, same CGI, same... Damn, no, they don't even deny it, you know. They go there, they take pictures, you know, and they either send it back black and white and then supposedly add color to it or whatever, you know. Come on, man. 9 years ago, they had some pretty good camera technology, you know. And look at the cell phones you got these days. The camera, high-definition cameras that you carry around in your pocket, you know. And you'd think that with all the money NASA spends on whatever they spend it on, they could afford some really serious good cameras. Okay, well, maybe the radiation in space has deteriorated the camera or whatever, you know, just like the old style cameras that they sent up there during the first moon landing, and they took the pictures and they broadcast them back and all that, you know. And you know, maybe the radiation kind of did something to it or whatever. I don't know, I'm just asking. And that's where I get myself in trouble, because I pose these questions about everything out there. We got this technology, let's use it. Let's do it, right? Let's get back to the moon. Let's go out there and send a whole bunch of rovers to the moon, you know? All kinds of cameras. They said there's a whole lot of different missions to... Mars has sent things to Mars, and I think it was like a really bad number, like 4 out of 5 failures trying to get something to work there, you know, something to land without crashing and tearing itself up or whatever. You hear all these stories later, but you get all these pictures, from NASA, up off of NASA's website. Go to NASA.gov and just look around. See the photos that they got. Ask the questions. Ask them, you know, hey, you're paying for it. Ask. You know, download whatever is not declassified. You know, if they went to Mars and they seen something on Mars that they didn't want everybody else to know about, you know, they kind of airbrushed that out, right? I mean, think about it. The whole UFO conspiracy started back during the 1950s, Roswell, New Mexico. You know, they said, like, some people said that there was an alien spaceship crashed in Roswell. And first thing, government rush in, and suddenly it's a weather balloon, and it goes on from that. So am I saying there's aliens? No. Am I saying there's not aliens? No. I don't know. Because E.T. hasn't showed up on my front doorstep yet. Well, when he does, I'll get a good selfie with him, and I'll send you guys a photo and show you E.T. He was standing there at my house. I'll show you a picture of the tour I'll take of his spaceship, and heck, I might even have him fly by and land in your yard and say hi to you and such. Don't know what's what until you actually have hardcore evidence in front of you. You won't know what's real or what's not real until you actually physically see it and touch it yourself. But the technology that's claimed to be out there should be fixing our world right now. Shouldn't be anybody out there doing without fresh water. Shouldn't be anybody out there doing without heat and food and such. We should have everything we need to take care of everybody on this planet. You know, all the money that's spent on the whole NASA deal there, you know, that's quite a bit of money. Even though their budget was supposedly cut, you know, they still got quite a bit of money. The militaries of the world, you know, unlimited credit cards and able to have all this stealth technology and all the different stuff that they got. And think about the technology that goes into the stealth bomber itself, you know. And that's just one craft out of all of them. Think about all that technology. Pretty amazing stuff. Think about the technology for the lasers and and the hydrogen technology that they talked about using by 2017 or something like that for the Navy ships. Think about all the technology and all the planning and everything that went in to everything of all the war machines. Then even including the nuclear bombs. There's a lot of power there. You know, and if you know how to use this power, you could have unlimited, clean, free energy for the rest of eternity, you know, just by using what nature's already provided. I think it's pretty impressive technology. I think that if we do have it, it's not being used wisely. Instead, it's used for a power structure, you know. You can't sell no bullets if ain't nobody at war. You can't sell no guns and tanks and army planes if ain't nobody, or whatever, jets, planes, planes, trains, and automobiles, whatever. You can't sell none of that if nobody has a need to fight somebody. So there's a lot of money to be made in that sector. There's a lot of money to be made in the health sector. There's a lot of money to be made all around the board. All you got to do is keep the people asking questions. You got to keep them wondering why. You got to keep them. One of the actors said, always leave them wanting more. You know, watch one of these doggone TV shows, and then at the very end of the TV show, they'll put something really exciting and leave you hanging. Cliffhangers is what they call them. Drive you nuts. So we're basically on this blue ball or blue pancake, whichever view you take, floating through space or inside of some massive spaceship floating through space or whatever. And we're on this exciting journey together to try to seek the truth, to find out, to boldly go where no man has gone before. It's really interesting stuff. So Here on the Mad Science Channel at www.shazizradio.com, we pose these questions, and you too can pose these questions. You know, it's something as simple as a Skype call. You contact me on Skype, you know, Shaziz there, username Shaziz, and just add me as a contact and call in. You know, use some decent, clean language that could be respectful, and I won't hang up on you. Anyway, or go over there to shazizradio.com /superchat.html, and you get to talk to the Awake Radio Network at the same time that you can talk to the Shaziz Radio Network in their chat room. There's also other networks out there affiliated, People to People and 1800 Online and many more. That there's links on Shaziz Radio. You can find them all. Just people out there trying to do the right thing and find the right answers and share the truth and friendship and such with everybody else. And, you know, to find out. It's pretty much the same question that everybody. Where did we come from? Why are we here? That kind of stuff. I look at the world a little bit different than the average Joe out there, but I'm posing the same, pretty much the same questions, you know, common sense. If we got this, why can't we do that with it, you know? Why can't we, if you're so worried about the so-called climate change carbon tax, and that's a good question. Where does all that money go? When the government seizes all this money, it extorts the money from all the businesses and corporations and companies and individuals via carbon tax and stuff, and they're actually even talking about charging you by the mile before your carbon footprint. I think what they've done is put a real large carbon footprint upside everybody's butt and said, we're going to extort all this money out of you underneath false science, and you're just going to like it. You're going to know your place and shut your face, and you pay up or we'll throw you in jail kind of thing. The EPA dumps tons of crud down the river. A couple million gallons of crud down the Colorado River, I think it was. Who do they pay? They pay themselves for the mess they made? Do they take care of the Native Americans who rely on that water to feed their cattle? Or do they send them tankers full of oily mess that they ship water in, something that was used to ship oil in? Just asking. You know, it's a plausible question because, you know, if they're going to put this on their plants and it's got oil tainted in the tanks that they send them the water, maybe you ought not use that water because it might affect the plants or the cattle or the people. So, you can always trust your government. That's a fact, Jack. And you can take that to the bank. So, you know, seeing how NASA is a government agency, National Aeronautics Space Association, since they're, you know, government-related and funded and taxpayer-funded and such, you know, I'm going to ask the question. Can I trust them? I don't know. I don't know, man. Because, you know, when somebody puts something out there and it's questionable and you ask them questions and they get all apprehensive about it and say, you're just a tinfoil hat wearing nutcase, why are you asking the questions such as what kind of cameras and how they got these cameras to be able to withstand the heat of the sun, the extremes between heat and cold on the sun on the moon in 1969? Mm-hmm. And how they were able to traverse the Van Allen radiation belts that we've heard so much about. And even in modern day videos, documentaries, NASA science guys come out there and they'll slip up and say something about, you know, we got to figure out how to get safely through these belts before we can travel here, whatever. Well, wait a second. Didn't they safely get through those belts back in 1969? Am I saying we never landed on the moon? I'm trying to insinuate something. I don't know. Maybe I am or maybe I ain't. The question is, well, why ain't we been back since? I would just like to see, you know, what it looks like on the moon. We paid all this money back through, you know, combined all of us together with all of our little pennies and taxes. We paid for this trip to the moon, and we should be able to, you know, ask the tough questions. We should be able to see the pictures. We should be able to see more pictures in modern day. You know, if you could send a piano-sized probe to Pluto, 9 years, 3 billion miles, and who knows how much money to Pluto, and you should be able to send a really good remote control probe up to the moon and have it wandering around the moon and taking pictures and samples and doing real-time live virtual labs with it and everything. Wouldn't that be cool? If you could log on to cyberspace and actually navigate, drive this around, see, that could make a lot of money. It could charge people by the hour to run this probe around. And it's close enough to the sun. Solar panels would be good enough to charge up the batteries. You might have a little bit of over wait time for it to recharge back up and such. But once it's recharged, then you could have the next customer in line drive the probe around. And since there's so many different frequencies out there and so many different satellites, you could literally have hundreds, if not thousands, of these things crawling all over the moon. I mean, you could investigate the moon inside and out. We should know everything there is to know about the moon. There shouldn't be any questions. What's on the dark side of the moon? Are there aliens on the moon? Has anybody ever been to the moon? Are we the only ones that's been to the moon? So on and so forth. You know, what happens if you have one of these probes driving around on the moon and somebody finds a Pepsi can? Huh. That'd be interesting. Or Mars. You know, the whole jelly donut debacle. They found a rock that looked like a jelly donut. Maybe it really was a jelly donut. And the picture accidentally got through. And once it was in public, and they said, guys, we made a mistake. We dropped a jelly donut in the Atacama Desert in our Mars photo shoot. And we kind of sent this picture out to the public. So now we got to tell everybody about it. You know, it's a rock. We found a rock that looks like a jelly donut. And so what we're going to do is we're going to experiment with this rock, you know. Okay. Tell me what flavor it is. Is it raspberry, blueberry, you know, strawberry, what? Either way, you know, there's a lot of people out there in the conspiracy world that show all kinds of things, anomalies that they found in all these really crummy NASA photos. You know, they take all these photos, and even the photos are so, when you try to zoom in on them, they're so distorted that you can't really see much details. Like, you know, there's a picture out there, it looks like somebody's sitting on the surface of Mars. It looks like there's a human standing there. Of course, they zoom in, they try to convince everybody that there's a life on Mars. There's an alien sitting on a rock out there in Mars, you know, and they never just can get a really good picture of it. And they find all these structures, these shapes in the rocks that look like pyramids and such, and they never just can get a really good picture. Now, keep in mind, NASA's not the ones doing this. The conspiracy theory guys out there are actually doing it. They're the ones out there showing pictures of it. Well, you know, you can only get so much zoom off of a crappy picture to begin with. If it's a crappy picture and, you know, you try to zoom in on it, of course it's going to distort. But even if they did find something cool on the moon or Mars or any one of the planets that they visited, do you think they'd tell everybody? No, you don't want to freak people out, man. If you tell people there's a potential of little green men, they're going to freak out. Be like the War of the Worlds, you know, when they made that radio broadcast and people heard it come on the radio and they thought it was real. You know, we're being attacked by aliens. Martians are landed and such. Running around with shotguns. It's a good way to get somebody hurt. Anyway. I'm not insinuating nothing. I'm just asking. I'm just posing the questions. That's what we do here on Mad Science. So if you want to pose a question, then pose it in one of the chat rooms up there. Send me an email or a text. You can contact me at shaziz@yahoo.com or just jump on here in the chat room and contact me. Just ask a question, I like questions. And ain't no such thing as a stupid question. I want to hear the questions that are outside the box. What's what? If you ask the wrong question in the wrong form, you'll get the boot. Don't try to call up your local media and ask them about any conspiracy theory or any kind of chemicals being sprayed in the sky because talked about this just the other day. They actually got laws that says that on the books now that pretty much says that the mainstream media can just bold-faced lie to you and propagandize you. And you know that the alternative media is infiltrated as well, and as well the doggone mainstream radio networks and such, they do the same thing. And then they wonder why there's people out there asking questions. Because you're telling bold-faced lies, nobody trusts you, so they go to the alternative media and listen to the alternative media. And then people infiltrate the alternative media and try to steer people with false information and ship everybody off to the side to where they could be going. We could have found the answers to everything if people weren't out there being knuckleheads trying to disinform everybody. So we've been disinformed about alternative energy. We've been disinformed about medicines. We've been disinformed about government shenanigans. We've been disinformed about all kinds of stuff. And here on the Mad Science Show, we're just trying to weed through it by asking the tough questions. What if? If you step back and you look at the big picture and you watch all the stuff that's going on, that's how you're going to find your best answers. And bringing the brilliant minds from all different points of the globe together, to join in on these networks and posing the questions and doing the research that we do, sharing the information with one another, that's how you get to the bottom of things. There shouldn't be no reason why we can't solve the so-called energy crises of the world, any of the crises for that matter. The folks up at the top, they make a lot of money. They have a lot of power. They get to do what they want. And things that they get by with, you would be so far underneath the jail that you'd be speaking Chinese. That's a fact, Jack. And you can take that to the bank, Frank. I'm just saying. I was a poet, didn't even know it. But, we got all this different technology that's capable of doing what we've talked about, flying 3 billion miles through space and through all the hostile radiation and rocks floating around and micrometeorites and who knows what else is in space. And, in the science fiction world, you're going to get there and there's going to be some sort of, you do find life and it's some sort of bacteria, some sort of germ, and if you're on that planet and they find out you got a disease now from Mars, guess what? Government's going to leave you hanging like a trombone. You ain't going to get off that rock. They're going to send a nuke to Mars to mop you. They'll send something else up there later, I've seen movies. Yeah, you can always trust your government. They'll send you to Mars, and if you get sick out there, they're like, oh, no, you can't come back now. You're sick. We ain't going to have that. Bring you back, put you in quarantine, and maybe turn that doggone disease into a war, a weapon of war, some sort of biological weapon now. We got a Martian germ. We'll throw it over here on y'all over here that if you give us any trouble. You see how that works, folks? Yeah, that's it. You get some good technology, you gotta suppress it. You got to use it for a weapon. You got to use it to maintain power. And who is it exactly that's maintaining power? The governments of the world, man. Who are behind the governments of the world? Some folks say it's Illuminati. Some folks say it's the Freemasons. Some folks say it's a doggone Skull and Bones, or there's so many different names out there. Anyway, they all say something. But in all reality, the man behind the curtain is the money, you know. The man with the money. He follow the gold trail and you'll find out who's behind all this shenanigans. So what's going to happen to your carbon tax? What are they going to fix? They going to buy a big vacuum sweeper and suck all that CO2 out of the air? How's that money going to fix it? If they're just using it as a deterrent to not get you to pollute, then maybe the next step would be to criminalize CO2. Yeah, think about that. Now, the doggone EPA said that they added CO2 to toxic waste, you know, list there. So now you could criminalize it. And if you criminalize it, you know, there are certain rights that you can't have access to if you're a felon. So if it's a felony to release CO2 in the atmosphere, then guess what? Y'all felons. Y'all criminals. Every last one of you. Every time you exhale, you're a criminal. It's your carbon footprint. I know it sounds ludicrous, but it is ludicrous. CO2, man. Nothing more than two oxygen molecules connected to one carbon molecule. That's it. Makes it heavier than oxygen, so it falls. It don't float. And plants scrub it off. Scrub off the carbon and release fresh oxygen for us to breathe. So we got a symbiotic relationship between plants and people. You kill off the plants and then you got a problem. So through a process called photosynthesis, the plant scrubs off the carbon from the CO2 or even the carbon monoxide, which is one carbon atom connected to one oxygen atom or molecule or whatever terminology again. Either way, the plants scrub the carbon off and they turn the carbon into sugar and it's plant food. But yet, that's a toxic waste product there going on, according to the government agency such as the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, the ones that polluted up the river by busting a hole in the mine and letting all that crud go down the river. Yeah. So now you got this and you're going to criminalize it and everybody's a felon because they're breathing out CO2. That's why I call it mad science. It's crazy. It's just ludicrous. So where do we go to from here? We've already been to Pluto. We've been to Mars. We've landed a probe on some rocks out there in space. We've been around the sun. We got satellites up watching the sun. We got satellites all over the place. We got the Hubble Space Telescope that is outside the atmosphere and should be able to get some spectacular pictures. Can't you spin that telescope around and take some really good photos of the moon or even the Earth for that matter? Could you imagine what a picture from a Hubble telescope would look like of the moon? Could you imagine the detail you could get? Maybe there's a reason why we don't take pictures of the moon with the Hubble telescope. Maybe there's a reason why there's a conspiracy out there such as chemtrailing. Maybe. Could be. Possibly. You look up in the sky, you see these lines of crud always in the direction of the sun. And then these lines will spread out and form clouds. And you're an idiot if you call them anything less than contrails. They can't be chemtrails because surely your government wouldn't spray crud over the top of you. That would be madness. That'd be criminal. Never mind what you see. Never mind what you hear. Never mind what you witness. You just believe every single thing that you're told and shut up. Otherwise, we will call you everything under the sun, such as a tinfoil hat-wearing nutcase. And we'll indoctrinate all our college students to go out there and laugh and mock and ridicule anybody who questions anything outside the normal laws of physics and science. We will have these individuals go out there and just create one heck of a ruckus for anybody who questions the norm. Never mind what you see. Never mind what you hear. Only mind what we tell you to mind. Does that sound like somebody you want to be? One of these knucklehead NASA groupies that got the foul mouth going on? Can't even ask a basic science question without somebody getting riled up? Well, I'm going to ask them. I'm going to continue to ask them. I'm going to ask them why it is we got technology such as able to send plutonium, which granted, there's not that much plutonium because you've essentially got to take some material and do certain things to it to get it all together, just like they do with the nuclear rods that they use in nuclear power plants. You know, you got to refine some uranium and stuff. So it costs a lot of money, so it's not plausible to run your light bulb with that kind of stuff. So kick the plutonium clear to the curb and just use the thermocouples and the thermoelectric devices. We got all kinds of thermal vents all over this globe. It's all kinds of volcanic activity. There's sunlight coming beating down. There's things like Fresnel lenses. There's guys like Stan Myers who were running dune buggies in 1979 off of water. Think about it. Think about it and ask yourself that question. Why is it we got all this technology, all this knowledge, and we're still doing what we're doing? We're still boiling water, producing steam from the nuclear power plant. And can't burn coal because that's got carbon in it. But, you know, when nature spews off a volcano out there throwing all kinds of crud and toxic ash into the atmosphere and stuff like that, who you gonna tax? Can't burn coal, so that's out of the question. We don't want to burn oil, so that's out of the question because that releases carbon. And so now what are we going to burn? Well, you could burn water, but wait, we've got a drought going on in California. So we can't burn water. We need it to drink. But did you know that in the process of burning water, you get an exhaust such as water? That's not science fiction, that's science fact. Check it out. In their own laws of physics, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It can only be moved around and utilized. So you got all that technology. You know how to do it. You can get a lot of heat from burning hydrogen. And you got the solar power. You got wind power, hydroelectrics, thermoelectrics of all kinds. If NASA can send a probe 3 billion miles through space and send back pictures and all that kind of jazz, if we can send probes to Mars and have them run around, rovers out there run around working real well, got solar panels on them and everything, and the military could do all this stuff that they do with all the nifty gizmos they got, Why is our society so screwed up? Why is there places on this planet that are still in need? Why ain't we got it fixed? Go watch those documentaries. There's links over there at ChazizRadio.com, SuperChat.html, and the Wake Radio chat room as well. Watch those documentaries. And keep an open mind and listen to everything that's said. You know, life imitates art. And so what they're saying in there and the questions they're posing about radiation and all the hazards of space and such, and think about it. Just sit back and think about it. Think about the photos and pay attention to the photos you've seen in the movie, the documentary back in 2004. Now pay attention to the photos you're seeing in the 2015 and ask yourself these tough questions. Did that background on Mars look just like the background I seen in the Atacama Desert? Did that background on Mars in the video look like the ones released by NASA from the rover? Just asking. Just posing the question. So, I think I'll take a radio break and a music break and come back and see if I get somebody else on there. So, stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science. Turn it up.
I'm burn out on the whole global warming deal. They're going to charge you taxes on CO2, so it's going to cost you to breathe regardless of what you say or do about it. I'm just going to humor them. Now, I got to say it. When the tax bills start rolling in for your carbon tax and all that, because, you know, they did say that cows are putting methane, which is another greenhouse gas, up into the air. I'm going into cork business because there's a lot of cows out there. And so you're going to have to put a cork in this way and you got to put a cork in that way in order to keep that cow from farting and burping, because otherwise you're going to cause global warming to happen so fast, you know, with all them cows farting. Either way, you know, the terrorists, they could probably, like, go around and feed all the cows beans. And the people, for that matter, 3 bean chili. I mean, just think about it. If everybody's eating 3 bean chili and the cows are eating 3 bean chili, first off, don't stand behind the cow if there's a cork in this way, because if that cow decides he's going to sling some beans, you're liable to get an eye put out. You know, the thing about it is, if there was enough methane reaching from that cow's butt clear up to the Earth's atmosphere, the first time you went out there and lit up a smoke, we'd have some serious problems. You want to talk about global warming? Methane's flammable. I wonder if they figured that one out. Like I said before, man, I'm just gonna humor the global warming freaks and let them have it. Wait for my day in court and all that kind of stuff. That's about all I got to say on that episode. So y'all take it out how you want. I'm going into cork business, so if y'all need any corks for your cows, you know, they're going to be pretty good sized corks. So just don't stand behind them in case there's any gas buildup or anything like that, because I'd hate to have you get knocked out. You know, I'm going to have a disclaimer on there that says if you get hit in the face with a cork, hey, I'm not liable. It's better than blowing up if you had to light up a smoke, you know, with all them beans flying everywhere. Well, y'all take care. Peace. Good luck with that global warming. Yeah, before I take off, I got to say this. I had a eureka moment, and I got this theory on how the dinosaurs died. Okay, now picture this. Picture yourself in an elevator and some scumbag comes up in that elevator and the door shuts and you're riding up and you're in between floors and turkey next to you rips one out, you know, and your eyes start watering, you're about to gag and you're ready to roll up out that elevator. Well, I was thinking about that. Now think about a dinosaur. They were huge, man. Imagine how much freaking gas comes out of a dinosaur's ass. Alright, I can see it now. This is exactly how it played out, right? Dinosaur's over there, and he's grazing and everything, you know, and caveman's over there by his cave, and he's getting ready to try to light up a fire because nighttime's coming, and he's figuring, you know, I gotta get this fire lit because it's gonna get cold out here. Well, long comes old T-Rex, starts chasing the dinosaur that's just now sitting there trying to graze, mind his own farewell. You know, suddenly that scares the living you-know-what out of the dinosaur, and he rips one loose, man, just about the time that caveman's over there, he's rubbing his sticks together and stuff, and all of a sudden a spark hits that cloud of methane, and boom! Every damn dinosaur on the planet just gone. It's just a theory. Alright, well, enough of that nonsense. I ain't messing with the global warming freaks anymore, you know, because they just get on my nerves anyway, because no matter what you say to them, their science is better than your science, and you don't know nothing. Alright, got to get that carbon tax passed. Hey, that's what it's all about. Money. Woo! We green people got to have money. Alright, peace, everybody.
going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science. I got my friend Thomas on here. How you doing there, brother?
Not too bad. Nobody would listen anyway if I complained, so.
Well, I would listen. You know, I'm a good ear when you need to be. So, you know, we were talking about all kinds of things. Some of our conversations offline are better than the show, so one of the things you had mentioned to me was about a representative in a bicycle. You care to expand on that?
Oh, it was somebody up in Seattle, I believe. It was somewhere in Washington where they were proposing to impose a carbon tax on people who ride bicycles because, you know, they're breathing heavier from all that exercise and putting extra carbon in the air. And of course, then when he got called out on it, he had to recant, say, "Oh, that was just a joke." So of course, you know.
Yeah, you can always fall back on "that was just a joke," right?
Right. Well, and I mean, you know, my point about it was that I was saying the point of a carbon tax on the surface, whenever they proposed it, was that it was to try to motivate companies to stop using methods that produce more carbon, to lower our carbon footprint on the planet, because the average Joe doesn't have the means, if you talk to any politician, to produce his own transportation. He doesn't have the means to build his own generation technology. He doesn't have the means to basically, you know, supply his power and stuff like that. It's the corporations that have all this power, according to these folks, right? So they want to they should be basically torquing on those guys to force them to stop using stuff that's burning noxious stuff and put it in the atmosphere. And, you know, so therefore they're imposing a carbon tax on an individual is ridiculous. I mean, you know, the companies decide what kind of car you get to drive, whether it's electric or it's hydrogen or it's going to be gasoline-based. You know,
you
don't get to do that, and you have to have one to get back and forth to work.
Yeah.
You're just stuck dealing with whatever it is, so they're the ones that should be having to pay it. Now, I should point out, anytime you impose an expense on a company, if it's going to stay in business, it passes that on to the consumer.
I agree, and there's another part of the whole issue there, man. You know, when you talk about where B.O. was talking about how under his plan that your electric bill would necessarily skyrocket and that he was going to bankrupt the coal industries. Well, you know, when you talk about transportation, everything that you buy, sell, and trade out there, there's a cost to getting it from point A to point B, and somebody's paying for that, and that's usually going to be the customer. So, you know,
why do you think prices go up when the price of gas goes up?
Because it costs money to get the gas there.
Yep, it costs money to, it's costing gas to get from place to place, which translates to dollars, and then the dollars get passed on into the product charge. And then, here's the funny thing. You see the price go up on gas, you see the price on milk go up on per gallon, and then when the gas comes back down, milk doesn't come back down, it just kind of stays there, waiting for the gas to go up again.
Yeah.
Little trick there, you know, because they know the interest rate is the inflation rate's going to go up, and the amount of money available for everybody to play around with is going to keep going up, making it less and less valuable. They all know this. If they don't, they wouldn't be in business.
Besides that, they don't want to pay some little kid to go over there every other day and change the sticker on the price of the milk or whatever.
And it takes time to do that. I mean, they got to change out that stuff anyway, no matter what, when they have to put more milk on the shelf, because, you know, it doesn't stay good.
Yep.
They have done something to it that causes it to go bad, so it has to be thrown away if you don't use it within a certain amount of time. Hurry up and drink that up, because, you know, it's good for you.
Well, you know,
it's totally not calf milk. It's not meant for calves, no. It's meant for humans, even though it comes out of cows.
EPA is classified, according to what I understand, classified CO2 as toxic waste or whatever. And that's kind of funny because, you know, there's a lot of carbonated drinks out there. You know, people put CO2 in their sodas all the time. You know, there's CO2 in fire extinguishers.
And that's a fallacy, too. That's just it. Carbon dioxide isn't the problem. It's other carbon compounds that get put into the atmosphere that can't be broken down easily by plants or natural causes. That's why they really, you know, you don't hear them talk much about it, but they really torque down on the freon.
Well, see, what I can understand, they say, like, if people dumping freon in the air or something like that, you know, they did the whole hole in the ozone layer thing way back when, so this is not a new game that they've been playing. They actually made everybody change their hairspray, and they made everybody change their freon in their cars and such. But, you know, the CO2, on the other hand, heck, if you can criminalize or make it so that you can tax CO2, that's the most prevalent out there. You know, you're breathing it out your mouth, and cars produce carbon monoxide, not carbon dioxide. Plus, they put out some other crap as well, but...
They're supposed to produce water, carbon dioxide, water vapor, and carbon dioxide. Gas doesn't burn properly. That's why you get carbon monoxide and a host of other compounds, not to mention all the additives they used to have in it. They literally used to be pumping vaporized lead into the air because they use lead to keep the gasoline from pre-combusting as the pressure was building inside those pistons.
But even
make sure it fired at the right time.
Even with what you're saying right there, that would be something even better, would be to have actually get the auto industry to make the car super efficient. Now, we know for a fact that by vaporizing the gas, that you're going to burn it a whole lot more efficient than what sending it down in a jet.
Right, and that means you won't sell as much gasoline.
Uh-huh. You can't sell no drugs if ain't nobody sick, and you can't sell no gas if everybody's got a car that'll get 100, 200 miles to the gallon, so they want to make some money.
Well, you can sell it. The thing is, though, the public would squawk over what they would have to charge to be able to make ends meet. I mean, it would turn into Microsoft Windows then. That would be $89 for that gallon of gas.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know, not to mention you're going to have to pay per mile to drive. For your carbon footprint.
Yeah, they're still pushing to try to put meters on everybody's car.
Well, you know, they should just like criminalize carbon dioxide. You know, that's what they should do. They should just criminalize it. That way,
if they criminalize carbon dioxide, though, then they're waging a war against something else that they've been trying to use as a political trick to get votes. The rainforest, the trees.
Yeah,
because that's what they live off of. They consume carbon dioxide, and then they build sugar and other compounds for making their cellulose and their cell walls. And I mean, the tree just couldn't exist without the carbon.
If they criminalize CO2, then that would mean everyone on the planet would be a criminal, just like the government.
Well, yeah, of course, but they have special loopholes and special laws that make them exempt from all of that criminalization. They can do whatever they want.
There's always got to be a drawback to a plan. Stephen Gibbons typed in chat room, carbon life forms calling for less carbon is like turkeys voting for turkey dinner at Christmas. I like Stephen. He cracks me up. He's a brilliant guy. Anyway, yeah, so you know, there's where my grievance with NASA comes in. It ain't just about NASA in general. It's about the whole structure, the way that the money's spent, and the capabilities that are they're either real or they're not real. They're claimed. Either way, they're claimed. We went all the way 3 billion miles through space with some amazing technology. We dodged rocks on the way there and radiation. We got all this stuff together. We took pictures of Mars. We took pictures of asteroids. We took pictures of everything. We haven't gotten very many pictures of the moon outside of a few that were, well dated back or whatever. And so, I'm just posing the question, it don't hurt to ask, there's a pretty good lighting source on Pluto, I asked, is there spotlights on the probe, is there a good camera flash, if so, how many lumens or whatever, because it was lit up pretty good, got a pretty decent picture of Pluto, and then sent the deal back, just asking. I get people riled up asking questions, but that's all right. That's what I do. But we got all this technology, and they say that, it went there with plutonium. Right? Now, it's obvious plutonium is pretty expensive because there's a refining that has to go on to get really good plutonium. It's not a whole lot of that around. But,
actually, that's not true.
Well, that's what they say.
The reactors we have breed that stuff. They're essentially enriching something that's in there, something like the lead or the other unspent uranium or something, and making a heck of a lot of excess plutonium. I know it's something that's not... It can't be the uranium because they're getting more out of it than they put into it.
Well, see, there's a difference. They say that this stuff isn't like... it's real expensive. We don't got much of it. But either way...
It's expensive to handle. They don't have much that they process safely because most of it ends up in barrels and buried in salt mines as nuclear waste.
Yeah, and so all that nuclear waste sitting down there, instead of, sending the guy down there to wire something up, just like send you a cable down there with some giant thermal couples on there and let the heat off of that thing while it depletes itself, give you some free electricity. I mean, the half-life of what they said they sent to Pluto was like 89 years or something like that. It's only been gone 9 years, so that thing should be still cooking right along for, quite a long time after that, about 80 years.
Well, in space, it's extremely cold.
Yeah.
And so that plutonium being hot can be basically placed on one side of a device and the other side placed up against the vacuum of space to provide a hot and cold point.
Well, that's if you're using Peltier.
Well, as I say, down in the ground, you're not going to get the same reaction.
That's
you still have to have it. No, it's not the Peltier. That's a thermocouple design, period. The Peltier improves upon the thermocouple design in the fact that you can charge it and force the heat to only be able to flow from one direction to the other. That's the only difference between the two. If you push heat through it, it produces electricity, just like the thermocouple, right? And that's what you're doing, is you're pushing heat through it. In the ground, you're not getting the same reaction, especially the deeper they dig and the lower they pump that stuff into the ground. The most efficient means I've seen so far proposed for using this nuclear waste is to take extremely powerful phosphorus compounds that, whenever they're charged, they light up, and embed them inside of a device that basically will stop any of the radiation from it basically halves the power every so far through the material as the neutrons are passing through it. So you embed it deep enough in that so it's safe for people to be within 10, 20 feet of it. Bury these under the roads with solar cells up against that phosphorescent material that keeps glowing because of the radiation coming from it, and you can literally line the beds of the road with it and have consistent power day and night.
Well, even taking the whole radiation factor completely out of the doggone deal. You know, take away the plutonium and uranium and all that kind of stuff there. Just taking that all the way out. The thermal couple and technology there is impressive enough that it could be expanded on to literally do the same thing. There's heat all over this planet, you know?
Right, but to work with a thermal couple design, you have to have a cold point and a hot point.
Well, you got the atmosphere and you got a thermal vent. So you find that sweet spot
right
in between the atmosphere and the thermal vent. You put what do they call those doggone things on the back of a computer processor? Heat sinks. You put a heat sink on one side to catch the wind as it's blowing by. You got it in the sweet spot where it's hot enough on one side. You got that temperature difference between it. And so now you got electricity.
Well, there's actually a better way to use any kind of heat you've got in a situation like that, and you can then hook those up to the outside for the process to do your heat sinking afterwards. You pump water down in there.
Well, there you go.
And when it comes back up, you basically use a flow check valve, so that basically that water can only flow in one direction. When it gets down in there, it's going to expand and it's going to come back up.
Yep.
And when it comes back up, if it's an enclosed system, it'll push. It'll be its own pump to push the water that's up at the top down through there to keep that cycle going. You just put a turbine somewhere in between there, to capture energy off it. And then, of course, when it gets up to the top, you want it to cool back down so that it basically can go back into the cool reservoir. So you hook up some massive heat exchangers on the outside of that that are thermocouples. So as the power of that heat escaping from that steam is coming out of there so that it can condense back into water, you can then capture electricity off of that too.
And if something goes awry, you don't have a Fukushima event, you know?
Well, if something goes awry with that, most likely you're going to have a volcanic event. Because you've been basically mucking about with something that probably was liquid and moving around before. Or semi-liquid and plastiline, and because you've been sucking the heat out of it, it's gotten brittle. And when that happens, and sometimes things build up until eventually they say enough is enough, and pop, you end up with basically molten lava spraying all over the place.
Well, there's all kinds of, you always have to factor in every kind of
issue.
It's
as simple as this, okay? It doesn't cost that much to build that system. You put it somewhere away from where all the other people are and use those power lines for what they're for.
Yep.
To conduct the power away from it to where the safety zone is for people to use the electricity.
Yeah.
And that's a consistent source of power because it's not going to just suddenly stop whenever it gets dark.
Yeah.
And start when it gets light. You know, there's none of this complaint about dirty electricity where it's like, it's there when we don't need it and it's not there when we need it, you know, which is their complaint about solar and wind.
You know, there are some places on this planet where every single day is a bad hair day, okay? There are places on this planet...
Talking about along the edges of coasts where the wind is constantly blowing up off the ocean?
Yeah.
And it's always in one direction because it was coming from the ocean?
Yeah. And there are also places on the doggone planet where if you ain't got sunblock 2030, then you're going to end up with the whole I got a heck of a sunburnt blister rash going on. So here we
that's
go.
That's only half the day, though. Remember.
Yeah, but that's still.
That's the complaint. They're complaining because they're like, man, we need it all day, and it's not there half the day.
Well,
what do we do?
So half the day you use the heat of the desert, and the other half of the day you use the wind of the desert. You know
why? Why not use the wind of the desert all day?
Well, do them both.
As long as it's blowing.
All I'm saying is, look, if you strategically
they have these solutions already. The issue right now that they're really facing is storage. Because they need to be able to generate enough when the power is available that they can have reserves for when the power is not available to keep a constant flow of power so you don't get spikes and then brownouts.
We got
equipment.
We got capacitor technology. We got battery technology of epic proportions that could be the storage. You could store more than enough power during the daytime.
We do, but we have, it's not as good as you think it is as far as what's available from the industry. There are people pushing new stuff into the industry now, like Robert Murray Smith, when he's working with a place called Sunvolt, I think, something like that,
yeah,
up in Canada. And they're producing a carbon-based capacitor that they you can literally power an entire house off of, like, 9 padded envelopes, like you get from the post office to send, like, say, a notebook or something.
Yeah.
They're when I say notebook, I mean, like, the old, you know, single class, college-ruled paper notebook. Just, like, 7 of those, okay? And it'll store enough power to power your whole house an entire night.
Well, see...
So, if you have enough solar cells to generate twice the power you need, it'll store the other half that you're not using during the day, and it'll keep giving you power continuously all night long.
So, you look around the planet, you see where the heat is the most, you see where the wind is the most, and you strategically place your power plants. And it may be such a case that somebody in Hawaii is sending power to somebody in another place. You know, you may have to go underneath the water, you know, drop a cable down there, but there ain't no cables down there already. Or, you know, whatever. It's windy on this side of the planet, so you're sending power over there. There are places on this planet where there's lightning going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's like a continuous lightning storm.
Yeah, I would say they don't need to be sending power to anybody else from Hawaii. They just need to get self-sufficient so they don't have to keep pumping oil-based power over there so that they can have electricity.
Well, they're sitting on volcanoes, man.
They are, but they're not. The volcano is not as easy to deal with setting up a power system as the ocean. They have the ocean right there. Okay, the moon is not going to stop going around the planet, so the waves that they're generating there and the rise and lowering tide is never going to stop. Until we lose the moon, it's always going to be there.
Yep.
And they've got the entire ocean around them to work with, and it's not really that deep around there. It's not like they're going to have trouble setting up stuff far enough out to be able to do what they need to do. I think the only thing that's holding them back from doing anything like that is that it doesn't look pretty enough, and they make most of their money off of people coming for the view and the feel, you know? It's nice and warm all year round, so they don't want to ruin their little vacation spot with that.
But hold on a second. They can take and make a doggone Gwin Tower in California look like a palm tree, so most the average Joe, so unobservant, they wouldn't even notice that it was a dang tower instead of a tree.
Right. Well, we're not. I was going to say, what is a Gwin Tower? Explain that to me.
Well, they're basically just radio antennas, repeaters and such for cell phone communications and doggone...
Well, they don't make power.
No, they don't make power. Well, yeah, technically they do kind of send power out, but they don't make it. But either way, right. they're transmitters and receivers, you know, for GPS and cell phone technology and such, you know. But either way, you know, they can hide those. You could hide a generator, make it look like a yacht, you know.
Right. Well, and, I mean, like I said, it's not... If you look at the geography around there on with the relief map, it's not like it's really all that deep all around there. I mean, they could find some place to set up a power station that works off of waves and, like you said before, drop a line if they have to. It runs across to them, and no one would notice it was there.
See, yeah, people...
They could have all the power they want without... They could have their cake and eat it, too, you know?
People
all
would...
All the power they need and not have to look at the ugly power generator that, you know, is generating their power.
People with money can find solutions to get around things. Prime example is if you ever go to Missouri and you go down to the riverboat. See, they passed legislation to allow riverboat gambling, all right? Mm-hmm. However, nobody wanted to build a actual casino right on the side of the river for obvious reasons, because every so often it floods and you wouldn't be able to get people, you know, you'd have like a couple thousand cars down there and then suddenly get a flash flood in the river. floods out everybody's cars, you know, and you got to try to get everybody to safety, whatever. So what they did was they literally built these ships inside of moats, and because they were on water, they were legal. So where there's a will, there's a way. It's all about who's got the money and who wants to make more money.
Yeah, I will say they're too busy spending all their money on lawyers and tax people to basically find a way to save money on taxes and stuff like that, finding loopholes.
Yeah, and I know I'm kind of harsh on NASA, you know, but the whole freaking thing is this, man. You spend all this money, and I know they cut NASA's budget. Of course, they still have a lot of money, otherwise they wouldn't still be doing what they're doing.
Right.
But regardless of all that, there's some amazing technology that is claimed or actually in existence via NASA. What they've shown everybody out there, and to sit back and listen to the world out here talking about things like, we're suffering from a drought in California, you know. Those folks that live over there in Dubai, they not only built the land that they're standing on, but they built skyscrapers on same said land, and they turned around and built huge desalination plants, which supplies all the fresh water for everybody. Have you ever seen any pictures or videos of Dubai? It's like beautiful there, man. You got to be rich to go there, pretty much, unless you're working.
Right.
And so, you know, here is basically a luxury city built on sand, a compacted sand out in the middle of Nowheresville, and they're producing their own water. They haven't got no problem with drought, so why should California have a problem with drought? You know, they should be able to, ahead of time, make enough fresh water to pump back up there. And then everybody's like, well, you know, if you use up all the water in the ocean, the fish ain't going to have no place to swim. Come on, man. What do you do? What happens when water evaporates? What happens? See, here's another thing on the NASA deal. They talk about, like, this deep space that they were on this long journey through space, you know, in this documentary that I posted a link to over there at the chat room. They said that the guy's talking about how do you guys get water and everything? And the guy's on there talking about, well, we recycle everything on here. As a matter of fact, right now I'm drinking this guy's pee. Oh, come on. Is it just me? Or is this world nuts? You know, we got their own specific laws of physics, all right? They're supposedly written in stone. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It just be moved around. And when you burn water, you get water out the tailpipe over there. So you get the hydrogen separated from the oxygen. You get a combustion going on, and somehow or another it recombines on the other end and makes water.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive technology. And so you're not getting any pollution in there going on, so, you know, that would be a good technology to look towards. And so every time you flush your commode and it goes downstream and nature filters it back up, the water gets recycled, or it goes down to the sewage treatment plant and they recycle the water down there. And all the Earth's water, whether it be evaporating, going up into the air, either comes back down in the form of precipitation. One day I walked outside and it was raining outside. And I felt all high-tech, and I said, there is a plethora of hydrogen and oxygen molecules emanating from the sky in the form of precipitation, otherwise known as rain.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody looked at me all cross-eyed, like I just said some sort of blasphemy.
Man, you don't remember from school that nerds are not cool?
Oh, well, that explains a lot. Yeah, that explains a lot.
Breaking the cardinal rule, man. You can't show your intelligence. You gotta act like an ape.
Yeah, so if I go out and talk stupid, then everything's all right, you know.
Yeah, you gotta admit, Mets, Dallas Cowboys, OU Sooners.
Yeah, go Chiefs.
Muscle cars.
All I gotta say is that, look, common sense is not so common. Because I'm sitting here and I'm asking these questions, you know, we got all these problems that the planet's really heating up and there's 500 days till climate change, which is almost up. 500 days left before total climate chaos, according to the guys that's shouting about the global warming and stuff. What happens after that 500 days is the question I got. And if nothing happens after that 500 days, if everything just continues to either cool down or just goes by normal, how long are they going to continue on the whole carbon emissions thing and basically, you know, they're extorting money, man. That's all they're doing. What are they going to do with the tax money?
That's all it's about, man.
What are they going to do with the tax money? Are they going to build a giant vacuum sweeper and suck all the CO2 out of the air? I'm just asking.
If they're worried about sucking something out of the air, there's plenty of hot air coming from all those politicians.
Well, see, why can't we put a dang generator on their face? You know, like one of them, like Israeli-looking gas masks with turbines on the sides of it?
So they all look like Bane?
Yeah.
From, Batman?
Have them tethered to an extension cord?
I was born in darkness.
Yeah. We could have them tethered to an extension cord while they're working up in Congress, you know, and while they're up there blowing hot air, they could be charging up somebody's cell phone.
They'd be working, though. That's like that thing with Kim Davis, man. Everybody's going on about, well, so-and-so doesn't believe in their and they still work. And someone posted one. Congress doesn't believe in the laws that they're writing, and they're still, oh, wait a minute, I guess I messed that up.
Does Congress even read?
They're not working. They're not doing anything.
Does Congress even read the laws they pass, or are they just up there for, you know?
Oh, you saw what that one woman said. We got to pass the law so you can find out what's in the law.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi. That's her famous words. We got to pass this bill so we can find out what's in it. Are you crazy?
Yeah, I know.
So, what? Well, yeah.
I have a feeling that she's just. Somebody was having a little fun with her, and it actually was supposed to mean we got to pass the bill to find out whether it's any good. You know, we got to test this theory to see if it's going to work. But of course, they can't use the word theory because that's a nerd word.
Yeah, well,
that's a no-no. That's as bad to say as the F word on the radio. You know?
I'm going to take
you can't
her
say theory.
I'm going to take her literal at her words when she says we got to pass this to find out what's in it, because she's supposed to be a representative and she's supposed to get straight direct to the point so everybody knows.
What?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't feel represented because I'm sitting here shouting.
She ain't a representative of me.
I'm sitting here shouting all four points of the compass about this whole bogus global warming scam. I mean, the bogus science behind it and everything. And I've been shouting about this for over 20-some-odd years, man. Put a pan of water.
The one advantage to the global warming thing is that you've got people spending money trying to basically lower all these issues with excess power it takes to do things, getting more efficient. So you just need to sign up for some grants. Stop screaming about how there ain't no global warming. Get out there with your hand out like everybody else is doing.
That sounds like a plan. I think I could get into that. Now look, I listened to them on another radio station the other day, and they were talking about, you know, one of the politicians up there, the Democrat pretending to be a Republican guy, ex-war hero, John, or I don't remember what his name is. McCain, yeah. Anyway, he's like, well, even if the science is flawed, and even if it ain't real or whatever, and I'm just paraphrasing because it's just what he said. He said, what harm would it do to try to clean up the planet? And I'm like, it ain't nobody not wanting to clean up the planet. It's people not liking the fact that they're using bogus science to steal from people.
Right.
That's the problem. It ain't got nothing to do. We'd love to live on a clean planet. You know, we want to work in harmony with nature. But to steal, to blatantly come out and steal from people all over the world.
To steal something that doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
Remember, they're just writing zeros. That's all they're doing.
Well, that too.
They got some smashed up wood and you know, some chemicals out of the ground to make a stain, and they're using that to scribble out some symbols.
Well, you shouldn't have said that too loud, because now you open Pandora's box, because now the Save the Tree people are going to come rushing out with their signs saying, don't make dollar bills because you're killing trees, with their paper sign and their wooden stick.
Well, you know, there's another way to stop them from people killing trees. These people carrying these signs around, stop breeding.
Yeah, and then you'll stop eating the signs.
Stop making more people that need more things from trees. Okay? I'll bet you they don't want to hear that. Well, no. I like my babies. I like having my babies. Well, you know, shut up about the trees then, man.
Yeah, stop hollering.
Go make some more baby trees.
Stop hollering. That's it.
Yeah,
go
just
out and plant
more trees. Yeah.
All right, well,
I mean, I'm all for more trees, man. Trees are good for all sorts of stuff, man.
Well, I can tell you one thing.
They're good for stuff while they live, and they're good for stuff after they die, man.
I can tell you one thing for sure, man. On my property, I got 12 acres out here. On my property, I cleared out one piece of land quite some time back and had it down to where you could actually mow. And you can't even walk through there now, because I stopped mowing it and just left it alone, and there's huge trees there. All right? Nice. And so whatever you don't use, nature's going to take back. That's common sense. Then try not mowing your lawn for a couple years and see what kind of lawn you got. All right?
It's called life. Very invasive. Very invasive.
But, you know, we got...
You can take care of an area, and if you don't watch it, if you're not doing it right, it'll come in and basically reclaim it too.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the sidewalks and stuff that they didn't think about what they were doing and planted trees or allowed trees to grow too close to them. They just literally pushed that concrete right out of the way and said, I'm going through.
Go around it.
You know, you got cracks all over the place that are in pieces of concrete. They're sticking up out of the ground like a foot and a half.
Yep.
Because of roots. You know?
Go around and look at some of the old farmhouses, some that have been up for like 100 years where it's just a frame, and then look at the houses that have only been up for like 50 years and nobody's living in them, and houses that's only been down for a couple years, and you'll see, even the one that's at the couple years, it looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not using it, nature's going to take it back. But, you know... We got this big, huge scam going on with science and technology, and you know, I love science, you know, because I like to know how things work. But if science is going to be used as a weapon to try to disinform and complain about stuff, you know, if you got the global warming, if it's real, then all governments of the world should be on it, like you know, whatever. Stink on poo. They should be on it.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Flies on dog dung.
Yeah. So.
Let me make it as PC while being funny as possible. They should be on it like stink on lawn cigars.
Yeah. But see, you know. Look, if it's a problem, and you know we got this big disaster going on over at Fukushima right now, all right, this radioactive flooding in the ocean, right? They got all kinds of problems going over there. The governments of the world should be on that, all right? Okay, they should be fixing it. The Pacific Ocean dying off, or whatever, you know, all these different major disasters that are going on. The EPA dumping crud down the doggone river. There should be a massive cleanup effort from everybody and his brother, because that's a big deal. You know? If you pollute your fishbowl, then you got to wait around for nature to clean it up. You might not have that much time to wait around for nature to clean it up before you get thirsty.
That is the issue about saving the planet, is we don't have the time. The planet does. The planet has all the time in the world it needs. It'll save itself. But it doesn't run by your schedule. So, you know, if you... don't want to take time to take care of it, it's not necessarily going to be useful for you to use it. You know, you may not be able to live here anymore. You may have to move.
That's right. But nature got it all under control. You might not be able to stand there for a while, but nature's still there. Nature's doing what nature does.
This is the thing. Nature has as much control as we don't take from it.
Yep.
If you don't want it in control.
If you're over there...
It doesn't have any favorites, you know?
If you walk the same path every day through your lawn, you'll have a dirt hole. if you take your walking different,
unless you've got kudzu.
Yeah, but if you take
you ain't going to be walking that through that that garden every day, because before you know it, it won't be passable anymore.
Well, if you take a different path every so often instead of continuously grinding down that path, then you'll have a nice lawn, you know. And you know how I feel about my lawn. And so, you know, it common sense. If you're going to take and use a piece of property, if you take care of that property, you maintain it, you keep people from dumping trash in your creeks and, you know, all that kind of jazz.
Or some trash on your lawn.
Yeah, trash on your lawn.
Tearing it up with their tires.
You drive down to, yes, that's exactly, and leaving your stolen merchandise in my driveway after peeling out across my lawn. You know, stay off my grass!
Dang kids.
Yeah. And so
that actually kind of reminds me, I don't know if you saw that, but you know who the Kim Davis thing is, right? The one that was refusing marriage licenses to gay people.
Yeah.
Somebody put a Photoshop Dick Cheney's face on her and then had the Scooby-Doo crowd going, "Who is she really? Pull the mask off." And he's like, and you see, you know, her hair with his face in the middle of it. The two of them look like, you know, older brother and younger sister, man. It's crazy.
Well,
like,
you kind of
got away with it too if it wasn't for the meddling kids.
You kind of often wonder if they ain't all part of the same crowd and part of the same family, because they all got the same doggone agenda.
Shh, Muddy will be on here talking about lizard heads.
Yeah, see, man, look. I don't discount nothing unless, you know, that's I know for a fact. But until a lizard head shows up on my doorstep trying to sell me a vacuum sweeper or whatever, and he's got says, "Would you like to buy this vacuum sweeper? Because it really sucks."
It's the best wallet sucker you can get.
Yeah.
It won't clean your carpet very well, but it'll sure clean out your wallet.
Well, I told my mom one time that her vacuum sweeper sucks, and boy, you want to talk about getting mad. She's all irate. She's up on her ear. She said, "Boy, that's a good vacuum. I've had that for years. That thing works really good." And I said, "Mom, it's a vacuum sweeper. It's supposed to suck. Otherwise, it's broke." Anyway, she didn't
get the joke.
No, she didn't find that too amusing.
But he had no sense of humor.
Either way, until the lizard head shows up on my doorstep or the alien lands in my yard, the moment it happens, I will take a selfie with the lizard head, or I will go out and take a tour of their ship, and I will get that right directly out to everybody, because I'm in the truth. You know, I want to know the truth. But until I see it, like the flat earth,
you'll get told the truth, or if you don't watch it.
The Flat Earth Society as opposed to the Round Earth Society. I've never been off the planet, so I can't necessarily validate whether the Earth is round or whether the Earth is flat, whether the stars are real, whether we did or didn't go to the moon, or so on and so forth. All I do is ask the questions from the information presented to me. I'm standing on the Earth. I've never been off the Earth. I couldn't tell you what it looked like on Mars because I've never been there. And the photos and stuff that I get from Mars, they are questionable at the very least, CGI, whatever, you know, touched up, airbrushed, or whatever. All I want just some clean data. Send me the picture exactly.
Show me the data.
Yeah, that's it. You know. And if you're going to tell me about global warming, then tell me about global warming before the 20 inches of snow lands on my driveway and I have to shovel it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to ask the question, if the planet's heating up, why am I shoveling 20 inches of snow?
So you're going to be shoveling something.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just that. And I'm just, you know, that's it. Mad science, that's what we do. We ask the questions. You know, we got every bit of technology to have all the clean, free energy that we want. All we have to do is get the rest of the world on board with the game. But, you know, if you're going to come out on TV or radio and you're going to complain about climate change, and then when I come out and say something like, you know, we could get all the clean, free energy we want, and you laugh in my face, well, I just handed you a solution and you spit in my eye.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's hypocrisy of epic proportions when idiots are in charge of the world. You know? The Pope. Crazy, I'll tell you, he says some stuff, man. You know, and no matter what you think about religion or whatever, the supposedly the head of the Catholic Church, which they believe in Christ, comes out and said that Christ's life was a failure all the way up through to the crucifixion was a failure. Now, why would that kind of word come out of Pope's mouth? I'm telling you, it's all a show. It's all game. It's all politics. It's all, and he's talking about climate change. So, we got to save the planet from climate change, according to the Pope and according to the mainstream media.
I will say there's actually a little fallacy going on around too, saying that the Pope is has a master's degree in chemistry or something, and that's not true. He was a chemical technician. He has no degree, none that you can find. Mind you, that still puts him, you know, leagues ahead of your average politician who's never, you know, even cared about anything other than political science.
Well, let me ask you a question.
The secret to tricking people into doing things they don't want to do.
In the lines of hypocrisy, where are all the separation of church and state guys whenever Pope is addressing Congress? Alright?
Well, he doesn't talk about religion, that's fine. Keep the religion out of it, you know, for making laws. You can be religious on your personal time. You know, it's like I said before, atheism is a belief system.
Yeah.
You know, I said, you know, it's practically its own religion, right? Because these people are zealous about it. They attack people of, you know, various religions because they have a hate on. That's why they're atheists, because they don't like something about, you know, this religion or that religion, and therefore they won't respect somebody else's beliefs on it, right? And they'll attack them. And that's just essentially what you see coming from the worst side of every religion you've ever looked at, are the people who basically attack others because they don't believe what they want them to believe, right? And this, I get this response of, that's not true, it's not a religion. That's like saying, if you don't collect stamps, you're not, you know, it's not a hobby. Like, I could purposefully make it a hobby to get rid of every stamp that I ever, you know, procure, that every time I do it, it brings me a little joy. That's what hobbies are about.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you what,
Hold on, and I went a step further. I said, so then, if you're not collecting something by your circular logic, that means it can't be a hobby. So blowing things up can't be a hobby, okay? Mm-hmm. That means the Mythbusters don't have a hobby of blowing things up, because they're not collecting anything. They're getting rid of it. They're getting rid of it, blowing it into little pieces and making it no longer the same thing it used to be, you know?
If I was an atheist and all I believed in just was strictly science alone, and science told me about evolution and so on and so forth, blah, blah, blah. If I was an atheist and I believed that when you die and you just get recycled in the system, and there ain't no soul, and you just turn back to dust, and I would not even waste my time even trying to communicate with folks that were trying to tell me about whatever that I didn't
know. Right, you just walk away from them if you are truly an atheist.
Yeah! Wouldn't that be the simple?
Here's the thing, though, okay? You run around trying to say that your belief system is a fact, okay? Where have we seen that elsewhere? There are lots of other religions, because I'm telling you, man, atheism is a religion, okay? It's their God is the God of the void, the non-existence, okay? They have a big zero. Where, say, Christians have a, you know, the crucifix, or they have, you know, whatever symbols they have, or you have, you know, your all the stuff that basically they use for Judaism and all the other religions, right? They've just got a big zero with blackness inside of it, right?
Yeah.
And that's still their God, because it, like I said, it's a belief system. We don't have the means to prove the existence of anything.
That's right, and that
involves all that. So here's the choice, okay? I mean, I'm an agnostic. I have some beliefs that I like, okay, but I acknowledge those are beliefs. I don't have any proof, so I'm not going to go out of my way to knock somebody else's beliefs unless they are harming other people with those beliefs. Yeah. Unless they're actively going out and kicking people in the teeth because their belief tells them to do that.
Well,
you know. If you don't believe in hurting other people, then you can believe whatever you want. You want to believe in the tooth fairy? That's fine. You know, I don't think, honestly, any of us are right.
Well,
I mean, who's to say that you and the atheists aren't both wrong, and that there is some supreme deity that actually used evolution to create everything?
Well,
not just humans, but literally created the whole universe as a string of events, and he just calculated it all out with a very precise mathematical process, so he knew what it would do. So that's how he knows what the future is.
Well, like I said,
he knows everything that's going to happen based on that mathematical algorithm.
Like, you know? I said, Thomas, I ain't never been to Mars, so I couldn't tell you. I've never been to Pluto, I couldn't tell you. And all these science guys out there and gals and people who quote science to back up whatever it is that their belief system is, they got faith that there ain't nobody lying to them. I mean, they got faith in the pictures. We see
right. What
digital
imagery can do.
Until you
have a starship, you can go flying around and you have some way to validate that you're not basically asleep and dreaming or in some sort of virtual reality lab, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you really can't trust anything.
So in this...
You just have to take everything with a grain of salt and move forward and, you know, try to do what you can to, you know, to exist.
In this realm of existence, would you agree that we're best served as to fix what we know we can fix? You know, like, so
I think we're best served to fix what we can fix until we have spare time. You can theorize when you have spare time.
Yeah.
But there's a lot going on right now that leaves people with no spare time, and we need to fix those problems that are robbing us of our spare time.
Well, right now I feel
we are at a stage where there are literally enough mechanical slaves to feed, house, and clothe every single human being on
yep.
the planet into perpetuity. Okay, as well as maintain themselves,
and
with only a minimum amount of people operating those machine slaves. Okay, so why do we still have wage slaves?
And I feel like
why do we still have children starving to death? Or dying of thirst.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, why do we have people in America living under bridges? I mean, what is going on that's creating this problem? What's the root, too? You don't put a fire out by spraying on the flames. You hit it at the source and kill what's actually feeding the flames, what's producing the flames. So we need to get to that root. And I still firmly believe, remember, it's a belief, because I don't have the facts. I don't have a way to validate any of these facts. I just have a lot of simple facts that kind of point back to something that, you know, appears to be the most obvious option in all the theories available, that it's our zero riders. They're the ones that are causing the entire problem by making things work for them and not for the entire planet.
Well, and there's where my grievance is on the whole energy industry out there, whether it be fuel, fossil fuel, or any of them. Because, you know, if you got total control over somebody's light switch, such as if I don't pay my bill, they shut my power off. Well, in the midst of shutting my power off, they shut my refrigerator off or my cooling or heating systems. And so, therefore, you know, whatever food I do got is going to get ruined.
Right. Right, but now listen, man, why would they do that? Why would they shut your power off?
For control.
Why do they even have it on in the first place?
That's not it. They want my money.
Yes, they want something that is a complete fabrication. It doesn't exist, okay? The paper that those bills are written on is just paper.
Yep.
That's just ink, okay? It's not gold, it's not silver, it's not food, it's not clothing, it's not housing. It is a completely fabricated entity that is controlled by a very small portion of people who get to manipulate it as they see fit, and therefore when they increase it or decrease the amount of it available, increasing or decreasing its value, only they and their friends know when this is going to happen, so they know when to move on the market to sell and when to move on the market to buy.
Yeah, got the inside.
And it's not about that paper. It's not about those zeros for those people. It's about what they can use it to take from you and I.
And that's why I want to put as much information in the average Joe's hand so that they can, you're empowered by the knowledge that you have in your head.
Well, And here's what, I mean, what do we need to do? I mean, we need to come up with some solutions, right? One solution is to literally make the government responsible for the money again.
Yeah.
And then make and enforce them to make it an open and transparent system. We can all see how much money there is and when it's produced and when it's not produced. And we get to vote on when, how much is produced and, you know, like when the when it's increased and by how much. And we don't get any of that money individually as voters because we already got ours.
Well,
only two people coming into the system get the money. No banks. It goes straight to the individual who has now joined our society, whether it be through naturalization of, you know, or whatever.
Immigration.
Through immigration or through birth. Okay. Either way, if they become a citizen of the United States, they get an allotment of that money, right? And then that's how much the money supply increases, and that's it. It never goes. If you maintain that and reduce the amount of money that's available based on when people exit the system, too, when they die, by the percentage, by the amount of money that basically we allot to an individual who exists on our in our system, you will never see milk go up again.
That sounds
you'll
like
never see the price of, you'll never see the price of any energy that you use ever go up again. It'll stay stably the same, and businesses will flourish because they can actually make proper plans that don't have to take in somebody's flippancy of when they decide to screw around the money system so that basically their money is worth less money.
Yeah, sounds like
less stuff, I should say.
Sounds like a brilliant plan, and you know, if you go back in history and if you had the actual time to study all the doggone laws that have been crammed on the books, you'll notice that the majority of all the newer laws in the last several years or more have all been to protect the system. You know, it ain't been to protect the average Joe or fix it up so that everybody...
No. And you know how they get around everybody looking at those other laws? And make a big stink whenever they do anything for somebody other than themselves.
Yep.
We just made a law where gay people can get married. Woohoo! Let's not pay attention to the other 100 laws we made. They're taking all your freedoms from you. Or, better yet, let's not look at the fact that we shouldn't be sticking our nose in people's bedrooms anyway.
Yeah.
That's called being a peeping Tom, okay? We have to beg you for the right to get married? Why should anybody be begging for the right to get married, whether they be gay, straight, or, you know, you're marrying your cactus?
Well,
that's your business.
That's what essentially
you want to talk. You want to talk about the rights to go and visit people so that a company like a hospital doesn't get sued for the wrong person being in there? Write up a contract. That's what that's for, man. Just make an actual legitimate contract.
That's
contracts for marriage are like basically laws based on religion. Get that out of there.
They rob Peter to pay Paul, and they pit Sam against Bill, and as long as everybody's distracted and fighting, watching Dancing with the Stars and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Or how many kids Mary had.
Yeah. So, there you go,
you
man.
Said Peter and Paul, so I had to bring them.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick nature break, man. How's that sound?
Everybody else gets a choice here because, you know, Kingsha's is.
Oh, well, that's tomorrow's show. I'm just a mad science guy with wild hair today.
Because of something you said earlier, I just see that wild hair you've got and a giant ear where your face is.
All right, well, everybody stay tuned. You listen to Mad Science. This is brilliant. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Can you remember? Operator, give me the number for 911.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
To boldly go where no man has gone before. That's what we do here on the Mad Science Channel. I got my friend Thomas Anderson. We've been having a brilliant conversation. I'm really loving today's show. I hope you all enjoyed the music break there while we refreshed our coffee and such. And so, with that said, what we've been talking about today is talking about science and technology and all the craziness out there going on, the ludicrousy of why it is we can't get things accomplished in this world. My main deal is we need to build a like a ray gun that has common sense built in it. You know what I'm saying? So you like, if you see somebody who is lacking common sense, you could ray gun them, and then they'd wake up and say, you know, get one of them little light bulbs that pops up above their head, and I got an idea kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, if the planet's in trouble and we need to fix the planet, then let's use some common sense and just do what, let's tap into what nature has already provided. There's rivers flowing downstream that never stop. There's some energy right there. There are ocean waves coming in on the shore all day long, every day, 365 mm-hmm. days a year. Let's use some of that. Let's use some of the heat vents coming out of the ground. We don't even have to really do no drilling. If we use common sense and we put things strategically to where nature is doing, you know, like I said to you earlier, there are places on this planet where every single day is a bad hair day, you know? You got that wind continuously coming off the ocean, and you could put some, you know, nifty-looking wind turbines disguised as something, you know. You could disguise a wind turbine as a lighthouse or something, or have a combination deal. The light bulb that's in the lighthouse is actually being generated, or, you know, lit up by the generation from the wind blowing in. What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, we're not talking high-tech there. But even if you do want to talk high tech, let's talk about all the stuff that they've got out there as far as NASA's got all the cool tools and toys and technology and science and all that kind of stuff. It's enjoyable to listen to all the things and all the possibilities. Now, earlier I mentioned how NASA has this deal about what they want to do, and they have this deal about what they do. They have science fiction and science fact, and somewhere in the middle, the two sometimes seem to get a little blurred. And what I mean by getting a little bit blurred, like some of the images they send you out there to say they release these images to public, ain't necessarily the best shots in the world, man. So, you know, right now, we should be crawling all over the moon. I mean, there should be nothing that we do not know about the moon. There should be like little buildings up there where people can, you know, go up there and do research and stuff. We should know so much about the closest body to our Earth, and then, you know, kind of work our way out or whatever. You know, the technology just that has been created just in the process of even if it's all hoax. They've come up with some really good technology, even in the hoaxing world. You see what I'm saying? You got some good camera technology going on, some good green screen, some blue screen, and all that kind of stuff, CGI.
Right.
And so, with every endeavor we go on, whether it be to save the planet from the so-called bogus climate change thing, there's all kinds of technology come out, because when you ask the brilliant minds out there of the world questions and they start looking for answers and they start building stuff. Hey, look at this! I made a good carbon filter while I was trying to figure out how to do that. Now we can filter water with this, or you know, filter air or whatever. You mm-hmm. see what I mean? So knowledge is power. With all the researchers available out here, the internet is amazing. you know, the virtual reality. I mean, you can test stuff in virtual reality before you ever even build it to see, you know, how it functions or whatever. That's right, technology.
See if it's going to be worth building.
Yeah. See,
or at least get a better guesstimate, you know.
At least see if you do this with that, what kind of results you're going to get. You could input all the information that you need. This is made of that, and that's made of this. And, you know, it's the possibilities are endless. And for anybody out there in this world to be doing without or be cold or hungry or homeless, you know, here in America, there's no reason for anybody to be living underneath the bridge unless they absolutely just want to, you know. If that's their choice and they want to live free and just live underneath the bridge, and that's a conscious decision of their own, you know. But if they got some health problems and issues that they just can't work and can't afford, and nobody, you know, cares enough to pull them up, you know, out of the cracks of society, we're here in the year 2015. You got the man running around, the Pope running around talking about ending poverty. Well, we could have ended poverty so far back in the day just by ending the corruption and allowing everybody mm-hmm. to do what it is that they do.
The Pope wants to end poverty. The Vatican's got so much money, it's not even funny. Why don't you just turn loose of some of the coffers?
Oh, yeah, you want to talk about the power entity, man. Those guys, they got some funds.
Yeah. Stop being a hypocrite. Just go ahead and... If you want to start feeding some people, man, start taking care of some people other than yourselves.
Yep.
You know,
and there's third world countries out there that there's supposedly little children dying in every day and needing homes and shelters, and you tell me we can't get over there with some of this high tech technology we got. We got backhoes, we got graders and bobcats and bulldozers and such, and we can get down there and we can dig them out reservoirs and pump water into those reservoirs and build them filtration systems and solar lighting and heating and wind power and all that kind of stuff. And you could use the third world country in order to benefit them, at the same time showing the rest of the world the possibilities of what could be done in your own backyard. So you just improve these folks' lives.
Use them as an advertisement.
Yeah, just improve.
This is the technology we now have, and you can own it because I know you can afford to pay for it. We're giving it to them because they're willing to show it off.
Yeah. So they benefit. They get the heating and cooling and fresh water and health things that they need. And at the same time, you can sit there and prove to the world, look, we started off scratch over here and we helped these folks. Look at the houses they're living in. They're safe, they're warm, or they're cool, and they got fresh water and everything. This isn't beyond the realms of science fact. I mean, this isn't science fiction. This is science fact. We have everything we need to literally make it happen. Spend trillions of dollars on war machines and fighting lawsuits over drugs and everything else under the sun, criminalizing everything, running around fighting all these wars, killing people, sometimes innocent bystanders, and so forth, so on.
A lot of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. And then throwing somebody in jail for life for a mistake that they made, you know. Guy's got some happy grass, and he's going to jail for a year or two. So, you know.
That ain't a mistake. The mistake is that was ever made illegal.
Well, either way.
You should not have been telling people what they can and can't put in their own body.
Well, either way, no matter how you look at it. I mean, I look at it like this. If you ain't harming nobody, it shouldn't be an issue. You know, it shouldn't be a crime until it hurts somebody. You know,
right.
And, you know, there's all kinds of things that are hurtful that the governments do on a regular basis, and the corporations and the companies out there. And corporations and companies and governments, they're just people, all right? But they're people run amok. When you're over there in a country such as Mexico, and you got companies will come in there, and, of course, they're bringing you a job, all right? Well, they're not paying you the same wage that they'd pay you in a better country. Or they're sitting there polluting your rivers and waterways, or trashing or burying toxic waste on your land. They're not respecting you. They're not doing nothing other than using whatever cheap labor they can get off you to go over and sell it to these other suckers on the other side for 300% or 400% markup or more. You know, there's where the common sense, and the only way that anybody in this world is ever going to get anything resolved, is when the average Joe decides to get up and just do something for your own community.
Well, I will say most of the best scientific advancements that the rest of the world has, including all the businesses that are using the developing technology, got their technology from, were average people who basically just took it upon themselves to, figure it out. Figure it out. Let's figure this thing out. Let's work this problem.
I got, as far as I'm concerned, I've got the answers to the alternative energy deal. As far as I'm concerned, I've got it resolved. And I'm not asking for any donations out there for anybody to give me money to build something, to prove it, anything like that. But what I would do is, if somebody put together a team and they needed some brilliant minds, I would like to be one of those brilliant minds that makes it happen, that puts it into the hands of the average Joe. You know, if it's a just cause from start to finish, and you're going to put this together, you're going to put it out there, not to try to get rich, but try to benefit humanity and solve the issues of the so-called climate change / global warming / energy crisis that we do not have. I mean, I'll say that as many times as it takes. There has never been an energy crisis. It's only been a common sense crisis on this planet. And I got a lot of answers and a lot of things. I've done a lot of research in my lifetime that I'd be more than willing to just give away for free to whoever would take and use that knowledge to do something good for this planet.
Do the right thing.
Yeah. It's as simple as that.
Do the right thing for the right reason, you know?
I mean, if I wanted to get rich, I could have sold out years ago. I could have just went to a company and showed them a few nifty gizmos and said, "Look, check this out. All right, we can make this."
Yeah, you don't even need to do that. If you really want to get rich, you can literally just sell ideas.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, you know, you could save more money by not letting people steal from you, and I've got this idea to stop them from stealing from you. You know, you can catch them.
But
people go nuts for that. We can stop them from stealing. You know what they call it, right? Whenever they lose things that they can't account for, they can't figure out where they went.
In order to get filthy, stinking rich, you kind of have to advocate for the system, and you kind of have to sell yourself out to the system, and in the same process...
You have to want their zeros.
Yeah. But I don't have no need or want for riches. I got my riches with my family. All I want is that I get a headache every time I hear anything and anybody talking about climate change, and I'm sitting there, I'm wanting to shout at the TV, and a lot of times if they have an open forum, it's usually like only strategic questions will be answered. You couldn't have a guy like me standing up and asking them the tough questions, you know, because, that might make them look bad. And you don't want to look bad if you're Al Gore and you're trying to sell your book that the doomsday's around the corner, Earth in the Balance. You know, and you want to make money to buy that big old 9-bedroom mansion on the same seashore that you said that the sea levels were going to rise, and so on and so forth. But
yeah, I'll say, honestly, if they believe that sea levels are going to rise, instead of writing books, the type of people that are writing these books, like you're talking about him, they wouldn't be writing books. They'd be out buying property in Arizona.
Yeah. And you know what I would do if I was the rich or whatever, and then 9 o'clock the sea level is going to rise, I'd kind of take my directions from a guy like Noah, and I'd build an ark, right? But my ark would be a little bit more sturdier than the Titanic or the original ark. I'd make sure that doggone thing would right itself if it got turned upside down, that there wasn't no potential for it to leak, and even if it got cut in half, it'd still both half would float. You know what I'm saying? I'd use all the technology that we got. We could literally right now build a house that would be withstand tornadoes, you know? It could be aerodynamic. It could be done. Have that house to where no matter what hit it, it'd still be standing. You know? Fireproof, energy efficient, safe, you know? And if something happened like a massive flood, that entire house would just now become a life pod.
Yeah.
And it'd float. So, we got the technology. It's all about, you know, heck, if they're going to print money anyway, print me a couple bill, and I will take and build the perfect house and give everybody the designs for free and let them build their own.
They ain't going to make them no money, though, because then you wouldn't make money so you could pay them back.
Well, they can make a reality TV show about it.
You, you could look, well, you know, that taps into something else I was talking about, but, you know, before I get to that, I don't know if you ever heard of Max Kaiser or the Kaiser Report. If you haven't, I'd suggest you go have a look for it. It's on, what is it, Russian television, I think is the name of the thing?
RT.
RT, yeah. And he was talking the other day about, on one of the shows that I looked at, that he put out on his cast on YouTube or whatever, about zombie corporations, right? Meaning basically these corporations are not making any money. They're literally losing money on their product, but they're still running because they have to pay their interest to stay in business.
Wow.
So they're selling at a loss just to keep the bankers paid.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a car company out there listening to me right now. You come to me and give me a little bit of your time, and I'll literally show you how to build a car that will literally regenerate its own power, and you corner the market on electric cars, and of course, you probably own part of the doggone fuel industry anyway, because, you know, that's what you do when you got millions of dollars. You invest in whatever else has millions of dollars, so... I'm probably talking to the I'm probably trying to sell the devil a pitchfork, you know. Anyway, we got the technology. If you want to listen, let's build
it. We can rebuild him. Yeah. We have the technology.
A $6 million man.
Yeah, see, $6 million debt.
Well, Thomas, I get aggravated, man, because, you know, like, I get up there and I'll socialize with people on different videos and I'll ask them questions and you know, I don't see much common sense going on, and I have to pay attention to the political. I have to pay attention to the doomsdayers. I have to pay attention to everything going on out there. But when you try to
inject, it's a written contract, you have to.
Yeah, if you try to interject any common sense into any conversation out there, whether it be a holy war between the atheist and the religious, or a holy war between the doggone Democrats and the Republicans, or the liberals and the conservatives, or a holy war between the environmentalists,
the Democrats and the repugnants.
Yeah. If you try to interject in between anyone's beliefs out there any kind of common sense, they get riled up. Now I watch these individuals. This guy out there named Grindall, 66, I think, or 61. I don't remember what. Either way, he does a lot of videos, and I love listening to this guy talk because he always talks common sense. But he's up there showing these people who are protesting the Pope for trying to get the Pope to get everybody to sign on to climate change bills and stuff like that. And so he's sitting there asking them a question about this article that was in one of the liberal newspapers that had to do with talking about, oh, it would cost you $58,000 to retrofit your home in order to meet the standards set down by California legislation that said that by a certain date that every single house in California, even existing buildings, had to be zero-point houses, which means you have your own solar, you have your own wind, and your house generates its own power.
Right.
Now, if California is out there putting a legislation out that they know is not possible for the average Joe, because the average Joe don't have $58,000 to retrofit their house, then what other agenda would they have other than to run you out of your houses and get you into some sort of sustainable
apartment.
Cracker box house apartment?
Apartments, yeah.
Yeah.
So they can concentrate people.
Yeah, and so...
They concentrated people not too long ago.
So if the population's all crammed up into an apartment, it's going to cost you $2,500 a month to live in. Then you got $2,500 a month slaves for the rest of their lives because they can't own a house because they can't afford to retrofit a house or even buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Agenda 21, anybody?
Like I said, they had concentrated the people not too long ago, you know.
Yeah.
Every time they decide they don't like somebody, that's what they do, is they concentrate them, right? I mean, they did it to the Native Americans. They turned around and did it to the Jews so
yep.
that they could get all the money from the people that basically have been working their butts off since God knows when in Germany, and just hung on to it because they weren't allowed to buy property. When they let them buy property, they screamed about them buying all the land. I was like, well, you saw them go do a land rush because you held off all that long, all that time.
When the EPA polluted the river, which they did, they're the ones that caused the disaster that polluted the river. I believe it's in Colorado. And the Native Indians that rely on that river for water supply were now told that, oh, just wait for the Krug to float by and then it'll be good again. You know, never mind, we're talking heavy metals that are going to sink down to the bottom, and so that for years...
And slowly leach into the water for years, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it ain't going to just go away.
The EPA sends them some water in trucks that were used to carry petroleum products in. And when they pointed it out... Yeah, when they pointed it out, it's like, you know, get your own water then.
Yeah.
That's the kind of respect that they give our people and our Native Americans and all different people around the world. That's the kind of respect
you
give. Yeah,
that's just it. They're not racist. They literally see everybody who they're basically classists. They see everybody who it has under a certain amount of money one way and people over a certain amount of money another way. And they're meeps about it. This is the thing that really gets me, that makes me laugh at them. They're total meeps. I don't know if you know what a meep is, but basically in Cthulhu and mythology, meeps are these creatures that live in layers, and they are only aware of the layers below them and their layer. They have no idea there are meeps above them. They think they're the top of the food chain, but they're not. They're almost never the top of the food chain, right? And anything that's not a meep that's at the above the very top level of meep is invisible to them, too. The only time they ever notice it is whenever one of the meeps disappears.
Well,
that's it. And that's what these people are in this monetary system, are their meeps. They think that, you know, everybody that's below them is, you know, basically worthless, and that they're the good guys. They're all grouped together with everybody else that's in that class or above. They don't realize that the people above them look at them with the same disdain that they look at those below them with. You know?
It's a crying shame, man. There's so much that could be done as opposed to what is done. I'll just tell everybody out there in the world.
The money is not important. It's not.
No, it ain't.
Your willingness to work with somebody is what matters. The only reason we need to mess with money is because there are people who still haven't broken free of that system. You know?
Yeah,
you got people like Justin Aldrich, who think that, you know, because I still use the money because other people are using it, that I'm another money grubber. But, you know, that's just it. If I could get away from using it, if you were willing to barter and trade with me with your time, your resources you can cobble together or whatever, I'll totally do it.
Oh, I would too.
I would rather do that. You know,
I'd
much rather do that.
I'd trade you, you know, a spare tire for, you know, whatever. Hey, whatever I got that you need, you know, we could swap. That's it.
Right.
But, you know, it's like this, man. You're just going to have to judge the world and the goings-on in the world by what they do and not by what they say, by the facts opposed to the opinions or the theories. You know, none of us have all the answers, but together we could actually get something done and some solutions. That's what the whole platform at ShazizRadio.com is all about, bringing brilliant minds to the table, working things out, and getting things done. So if you're interested, that's the place to show up, share it with you on your social media networks and all that kind of stuff. And the more people we can get involved in all these networks behind the scenes... You know, Thomas, you talked about networking, and that's I'm trying to shout the words to all four points of the compass that's the way to go about it. You know, everybody's research together, your talents and my talents, our ideas together, that's what makes things happen. You know, these folks out there in the mainstream science communities and companies and corporations, they know a whole lot more than they're saying. And they supposedly have all this good technology, but yet we got to wait for it to trickle down. There's things that existed back in the day that I had no idea until somebody showed me a video of it. You know, But the technology for wood gas, World War One, World War Two, you know, technology mm-hmm. for hydrogen, 1970s.
They're using that wood gas technology over in countries like India and whatnot, where like you see them walk up and turn on a gas stove and run it, but there's no gas lines. You don't see any there's no propane being sold to the country and whatnot. It's because they're using wood gas.
Yep. So the technology's there. It's been there all along. It's time to have everybody take those pieces of the puzzle and put together. Well, Thomas, we're down to it, brother. It's been a brilliant show, and I'm so glad you showed up, man. I mean, you always have something wonderful to add. So, you know, with that said, everybody, you've been listening to the Mad Science Channel. Hope you come back to see the Knights of the Round Table, 8 a.m. Central to 11 a.m. Central on Sundays. And if you're around, Thomas, tomorrow, I'd like to have you there again if you'd like to join in.
If I can get in here, I'll be in here.
All right. Well, if you don't, the show must go on. Old King Shaziz the Terrible will be throwing some knucks out there at the Mad Science folks. All right, everybody. Peace and love. Take care. You've been listening to Mad Science.
Aw, crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.